have two more weeks of this series, obviously. And I hope that this series has been as much a blessing to you as it has to me, because I have been so blessed in studying these songs and these stories of these the writers and just all of the circumstances around the song. And today we come to one of the all-time favorite great hymns of the faith. Today we will be talking about the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Now, we know that this song is about peace, and there is probably no other song that has been sung as frequently and as numerously as this song has been sung at funerals, at times of bereavement or times of grief. This is an all-time favorite, and I think the reason why so many people choose to sing this song or have it sung, in particular at funerals or other times when there have been troubles or times of turmoil, is that it so eloquently expresses the feelings and the faith of a Christian. And that's one of the things about poetry, about hymns, about the book of Psalms, that they so eloquently express how the writer feels, and we take those words and we say, you know, that's exactly how I feel. I just didn't know how to say it that way. Have you ever read anything like that? Think, that's how I feel. They just put into words exactly what I've been feeling, and I think that is why this song is so loved. Now, the song begins, "When peace like a river." And the whole song, even though that word is not mentioned that much more in the song, it is really a song about having peace within your soul. Now, I want to talk about that for a minute before we get into this into a little more detail. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the biblical meaning of the word, the Hebrew word for peace. You know what that is? I'm sure many of you know. It's shalom. Shalom. I'm taking Hebrew this semester. It's about to kill me. And I had this as a vocabulary word last week, and I know this word. This is the only one I know of about 5,000 words that we have to learn. But this, and I was, so of course I was especially interested in looking up the definition and looking at all the various meanings. And you may be familiar with the word shalom. It is not just peace. It also brings a strong, strong connection with wholeness or wellness. It can also mean health. And you probably know that to those who speak Hebrew, shalom is their greeting, or it's their, it's what they say when they see each other. It's what they say when they say goodbye to each other. It's shalom. And it means, I wish for you, or I pray for you, peace. Not only peace, such as a quiet spirit or happiness or things going well in your life, but a sense of wholeness, that everything is in order in your life, that everything goes well, that everything is as God intended it to be. And so that's there's really a much deeper meaning to the word peace as it's used in the scripture, and we'll look at some of those. Now, we know that in the fruit of the Spirit, peace appears, this word and this concept appears several places in the Bible. We know that the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace, love, joy, and peace. And Dr. Brunson just preached recently a series on the fruit of the Spirit, and it was his message on peace was one of the best things I've ever heard. I say that about all his sermons. And it was so good, and it's a great series if you are studying this. But the fruit of the Spirit is peace. In Romans 5:1, Paul tells us that we used to be, in the past, we were at enmity with God because of our sin. But when Christ came, then we had peace with God. So there's peace with God in that sense. There's peace with one another. The Bible talks a lot about relationships. Paul, in his letter, talks about the two women, you know, that in the book of Philippians, that I urge these two women to get along with one another. I guess in biblical times, sometimes women didn't get along. I don't know. But, I don't know. He urged them to get along. How would you like that to be your heritage, your name, in Paul's letter, for the rest of the world to know that you were in an argument with another woman? But peace, this, it carries the idea of peace with one another, peaceful relationships. But I think more than that, as we talk about this word today, we are looking at it in relation to inner peace. a spirit that is not restless or troubled, but our spirits being at peace with our situations, with our circumstances. And that does not necessarily mean that our circumstances have changed to give us peace. It means that we have become at peace with our circumstances. And this is a much deeper meaning than we might ordinarily associate peace of mind with. Now, you are probably very familiar with the fact that in this day and age, at this very time, that the highest selling medication in this country is Prozac or Zoloft, or medications that alleviate stress and emotional depression. I have a friend who is a nurse, and she was the nurse at a youth camp last summer of a large church in the Metroplex, and she told me, I saw her afterwards, and I said, "How did you make it?" She said, "Well, let me tell you, I was prepared to deal with skin knees and maybe a broken arm or two and sprained ankles and that kind of stuff." She said, "All I did was dispense medication. These kids are medicated. I can't even begin to tell you that I literally could not even stop for a coffee break in the morning putting out everybody's medicine." And most of it, was this type of medication. And that tells us something about our culture, doesn't it? That even though we have a great deal of affluence and we have a great deal of a lot of things, we seem to live in a time where stress, emotional turmoil, unhappiness, and especially depression is really prevalent in our culture. I think I've told this story in here before about the time we were in North Carolina in the mountains, and we went into a little health food store. It's when I was in my health food phase, which I got out of pretty quick. Saying that for very long, and you'll want to get out of it too. And so at this counter, they had these little stones, and on these little stones, flat stones, smooth stones, were painted little words like love and joy and peace and things like that. And there's the little sign said $3.95 a piece. And I said, "What are these?" And she said, "Oh, those little, they're like crystals. And if you take them and you buy one and you keep it with you all the time, whatever the word you have, that will happen to you." Yeah. I said, "Really? I want to talk about this." I said, "So if I buy the stone that says joy, I'm just going to automatically have joy." And she started to get a little antagonistic. Then I think she could tell I was kind of making fun of her. I didn't mean to, but it just burst out of me. And she said, "Yes, that's true." And I said, "Well, is there a money-back guarantee? That's what I want to know." She said, "No." And, I just left it. But I did say, that is so sad that somebody would be so desperate for peace that they would actually. And I said to her, "Do you sell these?" And she said, "We can't keep them. I cannot keep them in." That, people, is sad. That is sad. And somebody's making a lot of money painting on little rocks. Might think about that, Rebecca, next year for your Christmas show. Yeah, then put a cross on it and say, "Here's how you can have..." I like that idea. I will send those to that woman up there. I still go by that little store when we're up there. Let's do that, Rebecca. I'm not kidding. Okay. Okay, so the song, "It Is Well With My Soul," talks about this kind of peace, a peace of wholeness and wellness that does not come from an outside source, but it comes from faith in Christ. It comes from God's gift, and we're going to talk about that, how that is. It is a gift from God. Now, let me tell you the story briefly. I'm sure many of you are very familiar with the story of Horatio Spafford, who wrote the lyrics to this song. But it's a classic story. He was a successful attorney in Chicago in 1847, the middle 1800s. He and his wife had three daughters and a four-year-old son that, about the time that all of this started taking place, he lost to scarlet fever. The little boy died of scarlet fever at age four. Not long, very soon after that, literally just weeks after that, the Great Chicago Fire occurred, which consumed virtually the whole city. He lost his entire fortune, his entire estate, everything was gone. And so he put his efforts into trying to rebuild the city and helping the thousands of homeless people who had nothing. Well, later on, in 1873, he decided his family needed a vacation because of all the stress and all of that, and so they were going to see some friends in Europe. And he was detained by business and sent his wife and his daughters on ahead, and they were on this luxury liner, the Ville du Havre, And you may know the story that during the night off the coast of Ireland, the ship collided with an iron sailing vessel, and the ship was sunk. And you can only imagine as you read those words in the hymn stories, if you saw Titanic, that's what instantly came to my mind, the fear and the panic and the screaming and all. We can only imagine how it must be to know that your children, in this sense, or loved ones, died in that way. Well, his wife was rescued floating unconscious on a piece of wreckage, and when she was all of those survivors were taken to Wales, she cabled home to her husband, and her cable simply said, "Saved alone." Of course, he immediately booked passage to Wales to be with his wife, and as he was, when he got on the ship, he told the captain, "When you come to the place where the Villa du Havre went down, will you come get me? I need to see that." And so it was dark on a dark, cold December night, early in the morning, the wee hours of the morning. The captain knocked on his door and said, "I believe we're passing by the place where the ship sank." And he walked out to the deck and stood there in the freezing wind, in the darkness and the black inkiness of the sky and the water, and wept and grieved over his lost children that went down in that spot. And when he went back to his cabin, he could not sleep, of course. But as he sat, these words began to come to his mind, and they began to overflow, and he took a pencil and he began to write these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll." He had just been out there looking at the ocean, the giant waves. When sorrows, he saw those sea billows as metaphorical of the sorrows that just washed over his soul, huge, immense billows that came and washed over him. "When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot that has taught me to say, it is well with my soul." It's really interesting that when he, that's usually the end of the story. But the story goes that when he and his wife were reunited, they took stock of their life and decided what they were going to do with the rest of their life. They decided to go to Jerusalem. They went to Jerusalem and they began a ministry there for orphans. And they bought, outside of the city walls, a home of a sheik that had sold his home. It is now the American Colony Hotel. If you ever go to Jerusalem, you must go there, because it's a lovely, lovely home. It's a little hotel now, and there are pictures all through it, pictures taken in Jerusalem in the early 1900s and around Israel. And he and his wife gave their life to ministering to orphans and the homeless and the helpless and the needy in the place where Jesus had lived. And that's where they ended up dying. And to this day, some of their descendants, the Spafford descendants, continue that ministry, and it's located right within the Damascus Gate of the old city. And so he left quite a heritage, not only in this song, but I think also of proving in the way he lived out the rest of his life after an unspeakable tragedy, the fact that his life could go on. And he could still minister, and he could still give, and he could still have a degree of satisfaction and joy in this life. Now, we're going to watch this today on video. You cannot have a series on hymns without the Gaither Homecoming video. I know. And so you're going to see, this is kind of the all-stars, and you'll see famous people like Michael W. Smith and people like that. But it opens up, Bill Gaither is interviewing Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, and this is her favorite hymn, and so she talks about it, and then they go into the song. So I want you to listen to it.
Oh, the bliss of that glorious thought.
My sin, not in part,
but in whole,
is nailed to the cross, mm-hmm. and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise
absolutely.
Oh, goodness. I want you to note the train of thought in the verses of this song. The first verse, he talks about when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, God has taught me to say it as well with my soul. When there is personal grief and sorrow, so great that I cannot even express it, nevertheless, it's well with my soul. I know that God is in control of my life. I know that God is with me. I know he will give me the grace to go through what I have to do. That's what he talks about in verse 1. I hear people often say, oh, I could never go through what somebody's had to go through. You know what? You don't have to. God gives you the grace to go through what you go through. And you don't have to have the grace to go through what everybody else. He gives you the grace to go through what you're going through at that time. The second verse talks about my sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord on my soul. What is that? Peace with God. My sin. I don't have to bear the punishment and the judgment of my sin. Remember, we talked about that in here before. When you invite Christ to come into your heart and you give your life to him, he took your judgment and your punishment in his very body on the cross. That's what we're talking about when we talk about giving your heart and life to him. And you are no longer under that curse of sin. And so what is he talking about here? Horatio Spafford is talking about, I'm at peace with God. I don't have to bear the guilt. That Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I don't have to bear the condemnation. I don't have to feel guilty. I don't have to bear the punishment because Jesus has taken all of my sin on the cross. And then the last verse, which is just such, can you sing those words or even read them without getting a lump in your throat? I can't. Because I think of how many of God's children in times of sorrow and grief have clung to these words with everything that's in them. And there's a CD that has this, well, I'm going to have it later playing, that I listen to when I walk. And I look up at the sky and I think, God, how many of your children who've had to walk through such horrible, difficult things have looked up at that sky and thought, one of these days the clouds will roll back and the Lord shall descend. And you know what will happen? He will come and it will be well. And see, the contrast in this song is that he is saying, my personal griefs and sorrow are unbearable, but it's well. I'll get through it. God will give me the grace to do it. My eternal security, it's well. The end of times, when all of life, when it's all over, said and done, it is well. It's either way, you see, no matter what, it's well with me. It is well with my soul because he had made peace with God and knew who and what he was doing. You know what? This goes back to the meaning of the word peace, a wholeness. Not just a lack of conflict. When God says, when Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, he said, I don't give you peace like the world gives you. Peace like the world gives is the removal of the bad circumstances. But I give you my peace. My peace I give to you. Now, very quickly, let's talk about a couple of these things. There are many things that disturb our peace. Losses, the grief, the sorrow, like Horatio Spafford went through, Job went through. And I want to say this quickly because I want you to identify with people in the Bible that had losses and had their peace and were in turmoil and disturbed, worry. In Matthew 6, Jesus spoke about worry. And there's a proverb that says, anxiety in the heart of man weighs it down. I just love the way it says that. It's just a weight, isn't it? When you're worried, it's just a heavy weight on you. Fear. Jesus said, before he was going to the cross, he said, my spirit is troubled. I am troubled in my spirit. And you can sense in Jesus himself, anxiety, fear. These are normal things that trouble us and make us restless. Disappointments. I was reading just the other day the last chapter in Luke where the two people were walking after Jesus had been crucified, were walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus walked with them and they didn't know it was Jesus. And he said, tell me what's going on. And they told him about Christ. And they said, we were so hoping he had been the one. You know, we know the end of that story, that he revealed himself to them, but they didn't. And I always think about that when I read that. We were so hoping he had been the one. Is there something you'd been so hoping in? You just knew it was going to happen, and it didn't. It didn't happen. Your prayers weren't answered the way you thought. Disappointment. These are things that rob us and destroy our peace. Well, let me tell you something. There is a way that we can have God's peace very quickly. First of all, to understand God's promise. In John 14, I mentioned this verse before, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give with you. Don't let your heart be troubled or afraid. It is a gift from God." This peace that Jesus gives each one of his children is a gift. It is the gift that he gives us. Listen, how could Horatio Spafford bear this? God gave him peace. God gave him peace enough to write this song. God, I think, puts something on this song that makes it so, where it just binds itself to your spirit. Don't you feel? I mean, I think so many people feel that way. And I will say there are other hymns I'm very much over that I don't ever need to hear again. This is one of them. I could hear this 50 times a day, and I start to cry every time I hear it. That's the way this kind of song is. And I look at, what did Jesus said, "I give my peace to you." Well, let's think about Horatio Spafford. He gave him that peace. He wrote this song. He could express it. What else did he give him? He gave him a ministry. He gave him a ministry to people that had no parents, to people that had no children. He gave him a ministry of preaching the gospel and sharing the good news. He gives him still to this day, even though he is in heaven, he gives him a ministry of ministering to the down and outs in Jerusalem. That is a gift from God. Part of the peace, the wholeness, his life that was given to serve God. Another way that we can have God's peace is to be spiritually minded, understanding and seeking to understand spiritual things. And you make a choice to do that. In Romans 8, verse 6, Paul said, "To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." As you fill your mind with songs and with the things of God, it brings peace to your spirit and to your soul. And then mostly importantly of all, to know God's word. Psalm 119 says, "Great peace have those who love thy law." Great peace. Those, have you ever been at worry or anxious or you're disturbed? What do? You go for your Bible, don't you? You say, "Lord, speak to me. Give me some comfort. Show me. Give me something to hang on to." Great peace have those who love thy law. God's word brings us comfort and brings us peace at a time when we need it. And so the peace of God is a gift, and he gives it to us when we need it. And he gives it to us. That doesn't mean necessarily that all of the bad things go away. It simply means that he gives us the ability to walk through those things and to continue to trust him. And I've looked at people that have gone through very difficult things, and even though they may be angry at God or upset or question or something, it's amazing to me how many people that are truly his still cling on to him and say, "Somehow I'm not going to let go." And they walk through that, and God gives them an even greater ministry and an even greater opportunity for their life. Now, a person such as that is Dawn Moody. Dawn is the director of women's ministry here, and many of you remember it was not that long ago when she was pregnant with her little boy Chandler, and 8 months pregnant, in fact, and her husband was on staff here at prayer ministry, and she came home from work one day and found him dead. And you may remember how tragic that was and how we prayed for her. And Chandler was born a healthy, good-looking, little energetic boy. And if there's one word in watching Dawn walk through all of this, if there's one word I would use to describe her in watching from a distance, it would be serenity, that she does have the peace of God all over her. And so I want her to come and share for a few minutes about it. It's one thing to talk about it. It's something else to hear from someone who has walked it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And you'll have to forgive me because tears come very easy to me.
That's okay. We can do that here.
I have her permission, so. I told Susie earlier that, you know, I felt like I needed to call her yesterday and say, "You do not need me to come up here to talk about peace. Not if you'd seen me traveling on an airline this Thanksgiving with a 17-month-old who had a stomach virus and a head cold." And what is it about 17 months old that you have to teach them how to share their toys, but they share freely their germs? So I spent Thanksgiving myself with a stomach virus. So walk through that and just had to do some, "God, I'm clinging on to you because right now I'm angry, I'm hurt, I just don't understand. But I know that you are in control. And I know I have those verses just like many of you do, where you hang your hat. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you a hope and a future. We hang our hat on that. I heard a definition, read a definition in a dictionary one time about peace, and it was the absence of conflict. I think Susie alluded to that. That's the world's definition. That's not God's definition of peace. If you look through the Word, it talks about we will have trials. We will have tribulations. Being a Christian is not an absence of those things. As a matter of fact, it's almost an invitation for those things, because as we walk through those things, we have an opportunity to decrease so that He can increase, because there is an outside world watching on, asking, is there something else to this life? Is there something more than this? And, oh, yes, the answer is yes, there is. And I think Susie even alluded to the scripture verse. And this is Jesus talking in John 14, verse 27. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you isn't like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. The peace that the world has is not what His peace is about. His peace has nothing to do with what's going on around here. His peace has to do with what's going on in here. Since Crawford died on June the 10th of 2002, raising as a single parent his son, our son, by myself, has many of its own challenges. I know many of you are single parents and have walked through that yourself. I remember one night, it was a 3 a.m. feeding, and I was exhausted, just absolutely exhausted. And I was still nursing at the time, and Chandler had finished nursing, and it was that calm in the middle of the night, and he was satisfied, and the quiet and the stillness. And out of the corner of his eye, he looked up at me and he smiled. And just the sense of that moment of God being there was precious. And then I sat him up, and then he projectile vomited all over me and himself. You know? You just got to fasten your seatbelt sometimes and hold on. But God was there in that part of it. He didn't leave just because the moment changed or the moment got a little more hard or difficult. His presence was still there. One of the verses that God gave me to know my salvation was 1 John 5:13. These things I have written so that you may, what? Does anyone know what the word is? Know that you have eternal life. Hang your hat on it, ladies, because you can know that He is in control. You can know that He is sovereign. One of the things God has led us through, you know, Chandler is 17 and a half months old now, and a very beautiful, vivacious, and very active and investigative little boy, as many of you who have 17-month-old knows. And the thing for me that's difficult is at the same time that I say 17 and a half months, I also know it's been 17 and a half months since I lost my husband. So there is a precious bittersweet when I say the age of my son, because it's also a reminder. And one of the things that the hymns, since we're talking about hymns, that I wanted sung at the funeral. And I'm not going to sing it, and you're going to be very glad I'm not going to sing it. I'd like to read the verse, the words to it. And it's the hymn, Because He Lives. God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. And the second verse. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because He lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He lives. Any of you who have lost dear precious loved ones know heaven is a little sweeter place because of it. Earth has lost a little bit of its shine, if you will. We go on. We have much to be grateful for. We have much to praise the Lord for. But there's precious family members that are on the other side cheering us on and will be there when we see them as well. So what do? We hang our hats on His promises. We walk sometimes 1 minute at a time. Sometimes it doesn't look as the way we want it to look, but we can know that we know He has our best interest at heart. And those of you who know Him personally know then that at one point, this is all going to be over. And we're going to see Him face to face. And we're going to see our loved ones again. And one of the things that I want to hear is, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thanks.
Thank you. It's wonderful. Thank you. Let me just end today with a couple of scriptures. In Philippians 4, the classic verse on peace says that, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And when that happens, what will happen? Then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is a great promise, that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We don't know why we feel that way. We don't know how we're doing it. I'm sure Don looks back and thinks, I don't know how I made it through those months. But God's peace will do that. And that's a promise. It's a gift from God. And let me remind you that Isaiah 26, that simple little verse says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, what? Whose mind is stayed on thee. As we keep our hearts and minds fixed on Christ Jesus, He will give us that peace within our soul. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of peace that you have given us. We seek to understand what you mean when you say in your word, when you say that we have peace and we have these other gifts. And Lord, I thank you for the understanding that it is not just things going right, that it is much deeper than that, that we have peace with you, that we can have peace with one another in our relationships, and most of all, that we can have peace with our circumstances and peace with the fact that you are in control of our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that today it would be well with the souls of every woman in this room. If there's anyone here today, Lord, that it is not well with them, they are troubled, they are not sure of their relationship with you, Lord, I pray that today would be the day that that is settled and it would be well with their soul. Thank you for this gift that you have given us. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful to appreciate it, faithful to use it, and that we would also be found faithful, Lord, that despite what we go through, that we would be experiencing the peace and the joy it is to walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you next week.